The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Hey, welcome back. Great to have everyone here. Danny Sheridan will join us momentarily. This usually happens at the SEC media days, but since there was no meeting, the poll has just come out a minute ago, media poll. The East, Florida is the pick to win with more first place votes than Georgia, followed by Tennessee at third, Kentucky, South Carolina, Mizzou, and Vanderbilt in seventh place. Alabama is the pick to win it all. LSU is the next pick. Auburn, A&M, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Arkansas. So how about Alabama and Florida in the SEC championship game, according to the media, which Nick Saban always likes to make fun of every year at media days, usually gets it wrong, and they certainly did last year. Speaking of getting it right, nobody's better to talk about the outcome of college football games than Danny Sheridan, who is off to another fast start, even in this COVID-impacted college and pro football season. Danny, it's been too long. It is so great to welcome you back to our program. Good afternoon.
I appreciate the kind comments, Paul. Good to be back.
And Danny, we were all thinking of you and your family and your friends in Mobile. I know it was a rough couple of days last week on the Gulf Coast, and we certainly hope things are getting a little bit better.
No, they are, and Mobile got very lucky, Paul. Anything to the east of a hurricane gets slaughtered. And we were to the west of it, even though it did come through Mobile. But Gulf Shores, Pensacola, Florida, really devastating what it did. So well, we got lucky.
We're so sorry to hear, and we're still thinking of all our friends down there who I'm sure are dealing with things that nobody really wants to think about. Still going on in Louisiana. Anyway, Danny, let's before we get too deep in what and who's winning and who's losing. A lot of people have asked me about this, And I have no idea, so I'm going to ask you, handicapping in a year of unpredictability when you really don't even know sometimes until the day of the game or the moment the game starts, who will be able to play? How has it been, and what do you expect this season?
Have you got a few minutes?
You got it.
Well, my main concern would be if at kickoff it were announced that top players weren't playing due to COVID-19. Nothing I could do about it. Hopefully coaches will, for the integrity of the game, will announce stuff like that, like the NFL does on Thursday or Friday. But that said, to me, and I love this all-SEC schedule, playing it an all-SEC schedule, conference schedule, Paul, it's a huge plus for me as a handicapper in picking underdogs against the spread. In an SEC 12-game schedule, you have, three or four cream puffs on your schedule, which means you get to rest your team physically and emotionally for 30% of your 12-game schedule. That's very important. Now you got to be ready for all 10 SEC opponents every week, and that's very hard to do unless you're playing, well, Vanderbilt. Before COVID, as you know, Alabama was going to open with Southern Cal. It would have been probably a 15- or 16-point favorite. They would have won the game. They come home to Georgia State. They'd definitely be flat, and the points in Georgia State would be good, not just because of Southern Cal, but because the next week after Georgia State, they'd be playing Georgia, which is all the players care about, not the coaches. And then after the Georgia game, Alabama would have another natural letdown against Kent State, a perfect spot to take Kent State. Those are obvious to me, but this 10-game schedule is almost like a gift. Alabama doesn't have the luxury of resting their team emotionally and physically with a non-conference, those non-conference easy opponents. With 10 SEC opponents, Paul, and not having those three or four cream puffs on the schedule, I think it'll make it almost impossible to go undefeated in the conference in the SEC. And I'll end with, when the top SEC teams come off a big win, I'm talking about the top teams, and they're heavily favored the next week, or if they're playing a big game, there will be flat. Coming off a big win, playing a big game, they're going to be flat for the team they're playing that week. And they're just going to go through the motions. At least that's what I believe. And that'll lead to a lot of upsets, a lot of close games, where I think the underdog will beat the spread. And that's my handicapping strategy this year, courtesy, again, of a 10-game schedule, 10-game SEC schedule. And I can't stress enough, I mean, how many times has Saban been undefeated, Paul? as winning a national championship in this conference. And that's with rest in when you get the rest against four teams.
He's lost the last game a couple of times. I think the 2009 season may have been it.
That's correct. And then you factor in there's no rest now. There's no three or four games. This team, Alabama, Auburn, whomever, they have to be up almost every week again. And I don't say this to be mean, unless you're playing Vanderbilt. And if you're not up against Vanderbilt, you'll lose the spread, but it's doubtful you'll lose the game. But it's going to be, I think, a great handicapping year for people that take underdogs in that situation. And it would also be the same in the Big 12 and in the Big 10.
Danny, so many times I've heard you talk about home, road. Home field is usually worth something. This year, how do you calculate the home field?
Well, that's a good question. You just don't put as much value on it, but still, like Auburn. Auburn has a huge home field advantage. LSU, obviously, and Alabama, especially LSU and Auburn, packed stadium. But the other team, the visiting team, they got to travel. So you still have a home field advantage. I guess you'll have 20,000 people at Alabama, Auburn, at LSU. So it still matters. Maybe I wouldn't give Auburn 4 points for home field advantage. I might give them 3. But I don't say it doesn't matter. But where would you rather be, Paul, if you're a coach, at home with 20,000 fans or on the road in the SEC?
Danny, so many things I want to ask you. Let me ask you about the Heisman. We got the Big Ten now playing, Pac-12 still trying to decide. Not to spend a lot of time on something like this in mid to late September, but how do you handicap that race?
Well, with the Big Ten agreeing to play in late October, Trevor Lawrence, Clemson's quarterback, Justin Fields, Ohio State's quarterback, they'd be the co-favorites, and there wouldn't be really too many people close to them. Maybe one or two others would be Sam Ellinger, Texas, if he has a good year. And the Alabama running back, Najee Harris. No surprise there. Alabama has a history of good running backs winning the Heisman. That'd be about it. I'm sure there are others, but I can't think of them.
Let me talk about some win totals. And I want to start with Auburn, Danny. I may be alphabetically incorrect, but I don't know anyone who has been more money on Auburn than you. I mean, you called their national championship run. You've also called major disappointments, I think, with 3 and 4 losses, which have seen my jaw drop on live television a couple of times, but it turns out you were right. What do you make out of the Tigers this year in a 10-game season?
Well, assuming they play 10 games, I think they're going to, again, and I've said this, this will be the 7th year in a row, they'll again lose 3 to 4 games this season. They'll be underdogs, of course, at Georgia, at Alabama on the road. Slight favorites at home against Texas A&M. A&M would be, they'd be a 3.5-point favorite over A&M if they played today. It'd be a slight favorite over LSU, depending on how LSU's quarterback, Miles Brennan, does. If he has a good year, they could be even. But anyway, Auburn could lose to both Texas A&M, and they could certainly lose to LSU, and it wouldn't shock anybody if they lost to Georgia or Alabama or both. There you have 4 losses right there. In the past 6 years, Auburn's lost 4 games twice in a season. They lost 5 games 3 times in a season. And one season, 2015, they lost 6 games. And I look for that trend to continue, 3 or 4 losses. And what hurts Auburn, which they can't help, is not having home games this year against Alcorn State, UMass, and I believe Southern Mississippi due to the 10-game conference schedule. So that's the way I see Auburn this year. It's not the end of the world, but I don't see them turning the corner on that 3 or 4 losses or more a season, even though they play 10 games, not 12.
What about the rest of the SEC West?
Well, Alabama loses home games, of course, with Georgia State, Kent State, and I think Tennessee Martin. They've got home games against A&M, Georgia, and Auburn. That's a tough road, 3 right there. Got to go to LSU and Tennessee. I don't know if we'll live to see Tennessee beat Alabama, but Tennessee certainly improved. And Alabama's got the SEC title game. I see Alabama losing 1 game, maybe 2. That would not shock me. You want the rest?
Yeah, go ahead, since save me time of trying to remember who else is playing football this year.
Me too. Anyway, I would say LSU would have probably 7 wins. 8 maybe if Miles Brennan came through. LSU's got to – I mean, they all have tough schedules. Again, it's a conference schedule. LSU's got to go to Auburn, Florida, and A&M, and then get Alabama at home. True, and they've lost, what, 16? I read 16 of 22 starters. They still got a lot of talent there, as you heard Coach O say. They're very talented, but they're not experienced. And probably the most brutal thing of all is losing both your offensive and defensive coordinators. So I would say LSU 7 games, 8 would be coach of the year stuff. Next would be A&M. I know they got to go to Alabama, Auburn, and Tennessee. And they catch Florida and LSU at home. I mean, everybody, and they may be right, picking LSU to win 9 games. I'd say, picking Texas A&M to win 9. I would say 7 games, Paul. 8 again would be sort of like coach of the year again, but I'd say 7. Ole Miss, well, they do get a break. They play at Arkansas. They play at Vandy, so that's 2 wins. Kiffin's a good coach. He'll do a good job there, but Luke didn't leave the cupboard bare. I guess you know that, Matt Luke. I'd say Ole Miss, 4 wins. Mississippi State, 3, maybe 4 wins. Arkansas, you got to help me here, Paul. I know they got a coach who's well-liked, but have they won an SEC game, what, in about 2.5 years?
I think they're 0 for the last 2 seasons.
Well, say 2.5 years, that's probably right. If Felipe Franks is a starter, I guess that would help. I'd say Arkansas, 1 win this year. I would be somewhat surprised if they won more than 1 game. And as you said before, that's a great fan base down there. I had the pleasure of speaking to them a couple of years ago, and they really are deserving of a winner. And just got to be patient. I think it'll happen, but it's not like you're playing, in the ACC. This is the SEC West, which is akin to one of the toughest divisions it is the toughest division in football, college football.
Danny, if I could try to quickly run through the West, I want to grab a call or two here after the break. But starting in the SEC East, if you could just kind of fly through on win totals.
East, the SEC East?
Yes.
Georgia, Florida, I'd say 8 wins. Tennessee, Kentucky, 5, maybe 6 wins. South Carolina, 4. Missouri, 3. Vanderbilt, 0. None.
Okay. By the way, that did not take long. Danny Sheridan's with us for a few more minutes. We'll try to include your phone calls for him. That's something that most guests don't do. Brando does, but most don't. Your phone calls for Danny Sheridan when we come back at 855-242-7285.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome you back. Danny Sheridan here, and fantastic segment already. Let's grab some phone calls for Danny and start with, who are we going to start with? How about Mark in Florida? Mark, thanks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. Mr. Sheridan, I was just wondering about basically most games are going to be relatively neutral sites. I guess 20,000 people can get kind of loud, but really won't have the same effect as 100,000 people. I just wondered how you're going to handle that.
Well, first of all, Mark, it won't be what you called a neutral site, and you're right. You have 20,000 fans, say, at the Swamp. That's a big difference from a packed house, but you still have to travel in the SEC. Very hard to win on the road in the SEC when you're playing a good team. So it'll matter a little, but that home field advantage is the greatest.
Bill, you're on with Danny Sheridan. Go right ahead. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Danny, of all the top three teams, Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson, what do you see as being a weakness that each team might have, be it position issues or coaching issues, schedule issues? What do you think would separate those three?
That's a great question. It's very hard for me to separate them. I think Alabama, this may be one of Saban's better teams. Clemson, of course, is loaded. And Ohio State is loaded. It would be difficult. I couldn't separate them by more than one or two or three points. There's no, when you say weakness, I look at the overall team, and they're just three powerhouses without injuries entering the season.
Antoine is up next in Florida. You're on with Danny Sheridan. Hello, Antoine.
Hey, how you doing? Danny, I have a question. Do you think that Michigan has a chance with an eight-game schedule? Opening game is against Minnesota for the Big Brown Jug. And do you think we have a chance to beat Ohio State this year?
Well, you always have a chance, but if you're talking about the overall season, I'd say Michigan would probably, I'm looking at maybe in a good season, six or seven wins this year. It's a tougher schedule and, again, all conference games.
Danny, I'm curious about something you mentioned. I mean, if a team loses a game or two early on, I would think the calculation of only 10 games is going to really play with their mind, is it not?
No, it will, Paul. I'll be very surprised when we have the Final Four college football playoff teams if at least two of them, and it could be more, have two losses. It's just, again, this is just my opinion, but when you have all these conference games and no cream puffs, you're looking at two losses for pretty much every conference except Clemson. Clemson should have, if they have a loss, would be one loss.
Mike is up next for Danny. Mike, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Danny, it's an honor to talk to you, and thank you for coming on today.
Pleasure's mine.
Yes, sir. Going back in time, I'm an old guy. And anyway, I used to cut out your odds out of USA Today. I'd make sure I buy a copy so I could sit with all my buddies. But anyway, now we have the internet, so it's a little bit different. What I wanted to ask you about was you were talking about like probably two losses for each team in the East, Florida and Georgia.
Okay. Right.
If that happens, does it come down to head-to-head competition? Or am I asking you the wrong question? Or
are you talking about, Mike, head-to-head competition on who wins the East? Is that what you're asking?
Yes,
me,
sir.
Or the title?
Yeah, let me jump in, Mike. There's a calculation for that, Mike, as there always is. It's usually, it starts within the division, head-to-head within the division, and then there's a tiebreaker.
Okay. All right. Well, that's...
Cat Daddy is up next for Danny Sheridan from South Carolina. Hello, Cat Daddy. You're on with Danny.
How you been, Paul? Danny, last year, Mr. Feinbaum told me that you shaved your mustache off because people were mistaking you for John Holmes, the porn star. Is that true?
I wish I made that kind of money, but I'm not sure if that part's true. But I did shave my mustache about 5 or 6 years ago.
Hey, by the way, Cat Daddy, he did not deny he was in deep throat. That was Danny. I mean, that was prime time for Danny's film career.
Well, how about the Gamecocks, Mr. Sheridan? What do you think the Gamecocks going to do this year?
Well, I think I said earlier, Cat Daddy, I think I like Muschamp a lot. I do think he's a good coach. He's a great recruiter, really a solid defensive coach. But I'm looking at the schedule. I don't have it in front of me, Cat Daddy, but I'm looking at four wins, maybe five because of the schedule. What do you think?
I tell you what, Danny. If you hold on a second, if you've looked at Carolina's schedule and give them five wins,
I said maybe. Paul,
yeah, I mean they have. I'm trying to remember it off the top of my head, but here's Carolina's schedule: Tennessee first game at home. That might be the toughest game of the weekend. At Florida, at Vandy, Auburn at home, at LSU, A&M at home, at Ole Miss, Missouri, Georgia at home, and at Kentucky. I think 4.5 would be good.
Well, all I can say is it's crying time again.
Cat Daddy, let me ask you a silly question.
Yes, sir.
Is Cat Daddy like a, is that, where do you get a name like that? Is it like a porn star name or what?
No, I was always lucky with the ladies as a young man before I got married. All the boys used to call me Cat Daddy, if you know what I mean.
I do, and I'm, my hat's off to you.
Hey, Danny, Cat Daddy is about to retire. How long have you worked at this package store, Cat Daddy?
How long have I been here?
Yeah, at Junior's.
Oh, about 23 years.
Wow.
I'm going to clock off right before Christmas to retire. I was going to last year, but then the pandemic come out. Liquor sales went through the roof, so.
But, hey, I have to add. Hey, Danny, thanks, Cat Daddy. I mean, alcohol sales have done well with the pandemic. What about gambling? I know the spring got wiped out, but what about now? Is it back?
Oh, back with full force. It's really incredible the way people are betting. Of course, you now have an overlap, which you wouldn't have. We got the NBA, you got National Hockey League, got baseball. But no, people are betting like there's no tomorrow. The volume is up. Legal betting is up. And for my friends offshore, tell me that illegal betting is also up, mostly on football. No surprise.
Danny, I know you're too busy to listen to the show too often, but we go from Cat Daddy to Red Dog. Everybody's got a nickname here. Red Dog, you're on with Danny.
Hey, I got a serious question, Paul. So every year, what the you got to win 6 games to be bowl eligible?
Right.
So is that changed?
No, you don't have to win any games to be bowl eligible this year.
I agree.
All right.
Maybe you have to win one.
Maybe.
Yeah. Depending on
the pool. What did Danny say about Georgia?
I think Georgia
11-0.
Well, it'd be kind of hard to be 11-0 with a 10-game schedule. But if you're talking about
the SEC, not when you win the SEC, Danny.
That's true. I just said a little slow today, Red Dog. But no, I would say Georgia. Looking at their schedule, they obviously have a very good team. I don't know how good the quarterback's going to be, Daniels or Mathis or whomever, but they have a outstanding defense, as you know. But the bottom line is 8 wins. I don't see them winning any more than 8 games.
Danny, before you go, let's talk about the big national picture. You said something interesting, which I think will really resonate with a lot of people. Two losses. You could see teams in the playoff with 2 losses. So would you go with chalk? I mean, everybody thinks Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State are the 3 best teams in the country. Do you agree?
I do. Right now, starting the season with that injury, sure. Clemson, again, they're very fortunate, very good team. They could compete with anybody, but it's nice to play in the ACC. They got a 1-game schedule, and that would be Notre Dame. Ohio State, much tougher schedule, but Ohio State has a huge advantage because the Big Ten is only playing 8 conference games, and the SEC and the Big 12, including the ACC, they play 10 conference games. Paul, when you only play 8, I mean, that's people are impressed with, say, if you're 7-1, I'd be more impressed with 8-2 in the SEC or the Big 12. But that's a big advantage for Ohio State. But, yes, those are the 3 teams. And that also Ohio State's crossover game, if I remember right, their crossover games are Illinois and Nebraska.
Oh, yeah.
The 4th team is really tough. I mean, it's tough for me anyway. I don't know how good I am at picking the Final 4 this early. But I'd say Oklahoma. I think they're a little bit better than Texas. But the 3 teams you mentioned are in a class of their own.
I am curious, Danny. Before you go, we've already seen some strange upsets. We've seen Louisiana. We've seen the Sun Belt teams do very well. You know a lot about that league. But you know, this weekend in the SEC, you've got the Tennessee South Carolina game. Line wise, is pretty close. A lot of folks like Kentucky as an underdog. Are we likely to see more upsets in the first week, or is it just an unpredictable season overall?
Well, I think you're going to see a lot of upsets and a lot of close games. I mean, if Alabama were playing Missouri at Alabama with Texas A&M up next, I'd be all over Missouri. If a game like that, if I were to pick it, and I don't know if I'll pick it, I would take Missouri or I'd pass on the game. Georgia-Arkansas. Georgia's playing Auburn next week. I don't think their minds are going to be on Arkansas. I know Arkansas is not that good, but you're talking 25 points, and you mentioned Kentucky-Auburn. That's a tough game, but I know one thing. Auburn has a I wouldn't say a much better team, but they've got much better athletes than Kentucky. It could be close. Auburn's playing Georgia next week, so they're going to have to be really, really
so
focused.
When you, I know I've asked you the last question three times, but when you're looking for those who are neophytes, and you shouldn't be a neophyte when you gamble, but your criterion, you always think it's important. You've said it. It's important who you're playing next, right? What else is important?
It's extremely important. And if it's a revenge game from last year, like Texas A&M, they're like, I guess, a 30 or 31-point favorite over Vanderbilt. If you tell me that Texas A&M is thinking about Vanderbilt as opposed to playing Alabama next week, I would respectfully disagree with you. I'll be kind. So I always look to see who they're playing, what the score was last year. Or as importantly, Paul, if they come off a big game. Louisiana Lafayette came off a huge upset of Iowa State. They played one of the worst teams in the country, Georgia State, 17-point favorite. They're still celebrating. They won 30-27 in overtime. And that permeates throughout not just the SEC, but all of college football. But this year, can't stress it enough, as far as I'm concerned as a handicapper, when you have all conference games, it is just impossible to get up every week. You can coast with the three or four cream puffs, but physically and emotionally it's going to take a toll. And the Alabamas and the LSUs and the Auburns and Texas A&M, Georgia, so on, they're going to be double-digit favorites, and they're not going to show up many weeks after a big game or before a big game. That's not coaching. That's just human nature. They have never done this. They've always been able to take a Saturday, three or four Saturdays off, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. Fantastic segment. We've got to do this more often, but the problem is you could get to Vladimir Putin easier than Danny Sheridan. Danny, thank you so much. We all enjoyed it.
You put me in that category. Thank you.
Okay.
Always a pleasure, Paul. Stir him up. Give my best to Brando if you talk to him.
And I will.
Be sure and eat at Camellia Cafe in Fairhope. Great restaurant.
On my way right now.
Hey, I get like $3 for that plug, by the way, and a free dessert.
I can't wait. Thank you, Danny. Danny Sheridan
take
joining
care.
Us from down in Mobile, Alabama. We are going to take a break. We've already had Sam Pittman on from Fayetteville, Danny from Mobile. Many more guests to come on what's been a pretty cool Wednesday afternoon.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back. As we get back to regular calls after Danny Sheridan, any more reaction on that? Certainly a lot of information there for those who just do more than enjoy the games. Let's get to the calls. And Belvedere is in Texas. Hello, Belvedere.
Hello, Paul. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Good. Hey, I think you should have been number one on the SEC influential people list. I'm not sure. You might want to have a recount on that deal, but
It's funny. I was asked to vote, and I did not even include myself on the list. So that shows you how much I think of my ability.
Well, you underestimate yourself. Please come on.
But I will tell you this: the person I voted number one ended up number one.
Who was I? Don't remember who.
That would be Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC.
Okay, well, I think you have more influence than he does. But anyway, that's cool.
Okay.
Anyway.
We disagree, but keep going.
Okay. Now, two things real here quick. First of all, Matt from A&M is crazy. From San Antonio, about Texas A&M. That's fine. And then the other, some of the other last week said Arkansas was going to go undefeated. So I looked that up. You could take, you get Arkansas to win the national championship 1,000 to 1. And you tell that caller, I'll take his bet up to $10 million. So there's no way. I'll take any action. That's what I was going to ask Sheridan about. But anyway, and this is a serious question. Why is not Vanderbilt or Rice not really the equivalent of Notre Dame? It's always kind of...
Well, there's a difference, Belvedere. Notre Dame has a, it's a great institution, academic institution, but it also has a tremendous commitment to athletics from a facility standpoint to everything else. Vanderbilt doesn't. If you've ever been to Vanderbilt's football stadium, and I have many times, therein lies the problem. It's not suitable for the league that it plays in.
Interesting, I've been to Nashville, which I love.
They've got a great stadium about 3 miles from Vanderbilt, but it's where the Titans play.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that's the same for Rice.
I'm trying to remember. I think Rice play at Allegiant? I think they do.
They do NGR or whatever it is.
Rice changes the name of its stadium like every week.
Exactly. It used to be, I was going to say Enron. Something like that. So, well, it's disappointing to me. One more question. How many games does Tom Herman have to win to be not fired this year?
Well, I don't think he's going to be fired, but I would advise Tom Herman to think about beating Oklahoma here pretty quickly.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, that would be my free bit of advice. Ron is up next in Alabama. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
Ron, I am doing well. Thank you.
All right, good. Hey, look, I heard a call came in earlier, and I kind of wanted to answer that call for that gentleman. He was talking about, worried about the next coach for Alabama and who would it be, and winning championships and staying on top. Alabama was winning national championships before Nick Saban was born.
You're right.
So that's my answer to that.
Before Nick Saban started coaching, Alabama already had the greatest coach in football history.
Amen. I believe the Tide's going to roll this year. We'll be 9-1. I think this is going to be the year that Saban's going to bite the dust with one of his fellow people. I believe Georgia, Mark Riley, they're going to get it.
Okay, well, that's...
they'll go down.
He's got a few opportunities to lose to one of his peoples this year. That is an understatement. Hey, thanks for the call. Let's continue and check out David, who is in Knoxville, Tennessee, a place I know pretty well. Hey, David.
How you doing, Paul?
David, we're doing great.
Hey, I'm a loyal listener of Tony Basilio.
Sure.
Show, and I heard a real intriguing call today. I want to run this by you. Have you touched at all on the fact that Sankey is denying Cade Mays eligibility, even though the NCAA has ruled him eligible?
Let me address that for a second, because I don't know specifically where that is in the SEC office. For those who don't know, Cade Mays received clearance from the NCAA to move from Georgia to Alabama. I mean, I am aware that there is a stipulation in the SEC policy voted on by the members that it requires you to sit out a year. Now, I also am quite aware that has been bypassed a couple of times. I mean, you tell me what you know, because I really don't know very much.
Well, basically, and there's three big transfers. There's the quarterback that's at Kentucky now.
Right, Gatewood.
And there's also the kid that is trying to go from Georgia to Ole Miss, And you think, Paul, you think about the pandemic that's going on right now. Cave Mays wants to get closer to home, play with his brother. And you think about the racial issues going on in the country right now. And you know that the kid that's trying to go to Ole Miss from Georgia has brought up the race issue at Georgia. But what this caller brought up today is one of the more intelligent things I've heard in a long time, Paul. He said what Tennessee and Kentucky and Ole Miss should do is all three get together. Now, if Tennessee or just one school does this, SEC is going to hammer them one way or another. Why don't they get together and just say, we're all three in this together, and we're going to play these kids the first game. Cade Mays has already retained one of the most prominent lawyers in the United States, Greg Isaacs out in Oxford. And just go ahead and play them. I mean, what do they have to lose?
Okay, let me address this for a second, because I did not hear this, but apparently the commissioner was on WJOX this morning on the roundtable, and he said that it would take a rule change, and was pretty that's what I was referring to a minute ago. There is a rule. I am like you. I know there's a rule, but I find these rules to be absurd. But coaches are different. Coaches don't like players leaving their school to go to another school. In today's world, I would never stop a player from leaving. I don't care where he goes. That's just the new world that we live in. But I will see if I can get some more on that. That's an SEC decision. I'm just a lowly talk show host. We will take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Back with much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back here on what's already been a fun show with Coach Pittman and Danny Sheridan. Let's check out Will in Alabama. Hello, Will.
Hello.
Hey, good afternoon. Today, we're doing great. Thank you.
Alabama and Auburn, they're all state-funded schools, aren't they?
Of course, yes.
Okay. Well, I'm just kind of curious why the taxpayers of Alabama would care for Nick Saban and Alabama football team to do a football video promoting a racist and Marxist agenda. I think we need to defund Alabama football and give it to the police and where it's needed. They're going to promote.
Let me stipulate one thing. The University of Alabama, it's the University of Alabama's football program. The athletic department is self-sufficient, but I'm still a little bit confused by your argument.
Well, I believe every life matters, and for them to take up a political agenda and promote something that's so racist and Marxist, they could have come out on that video and said, you know, every life matters. You know, unite. Let's do good. Let's do good. But no, they didn't. I don't support them anymore. I can't.
So if I understand correctly, well, you were an Alabama football fan until this happened?
Well, I'm 63 years old, and as long as I don't remember, I've rooted for Alabama. But no more.
Listen, you're not the only one who's brought this up. You're entitled to your opinion. I don't mean to say that dismissively. I'm just simply saying that I've heard other people say the same thing, whether I agree or not. It's not the point. Apparently, that video upset a few people. It also pleased a lot of people.
Well, I understand. And I appreciate you letting me on the air, Paul.
Well, thank you. That's what we do here. And again, that's just one of those things that happens. And how about Andrew in Knoxville, Tennessee? Hello, Andrew.
Yes, Paul. I was just going to see, what do you think of the office of Tennessee position?
Yeah, Andrew, I tell you what, I'm not sure I quite got that. We'll see if we can get a better line on that. How about Brian in Starkville, Mississippi? Hey, Brian.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We are doing great.
Good deal, good deal. I just want to get your opinion on and get your thoughts on the Deion Sanders hiring at Jackson State. And do you think he'll take some big recruits around from the SEC?
I think he may. Deion was doing some high school coaching. But, you know, it's hard to find a bigger name and bigger star. I saw Deion earlier today on First Take. And, you know, when you're at Jackson State and you can get on one of ESPN's top shows, it helps. It's a great recruiting tool. So I think he will make a difference, you know, whether he's committed long term for that. I have no earthly idea. I don't know Deion that well, but I do know one thing. Recruits will gravitate to someone like him. Hey, thanks for the call. We're up against a break. We still have 2 hours to go. It's been a fast-paced show with Coach Pittman and Danny Sheridan. We're not done yet. Hope you'll stick around.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.